Ladies, welcome to our Bible study segment. We are in the book of Esther. Now here's our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert.
Thanks, Amy. Well, today we're going to go ahead and jump back into Esther, and we're going to see what happens now that the king has gotten angry because of the queen's refusal to obey his request. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Esther. We're going to be in chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. Then the king said to the wise men who knew the times, for this was the king's procedure toward all who were versed in law and judgment, the men next to him being Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marcena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, who saw the king's face and sat first in the kingdom. According to the law, what is to be done to Queen Vashti because she has not performed the command of the king Assuerus delivered by the eunuchs? Then Memucan said in the presence of the king and the officials, not only against the king has Queen Vashti done wrong, but also against all the officials and all the peoples who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's behavior will be made known to all women, causing them to look at their husbands with contempt, since they will say, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, and she did not come. This very day the noble women of Persia and Media, who have heard of the queen's behavior, will say the same to all the king's officials, and there will be contempt and wrath in plenty. If it please the king, let a royal order to go out from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it may not be repealed, that Vashti is never again to come before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. So when the decree made by the king is proclaimed throughout all his kingdom, for it is vast, all women will give honor to their husbands, high and low alike. This advice pleased the king and the princes, and the king did as Memucan proposed. He sent letters to all the royal provinces, to every province in its own script, and to every people in its own language, that every man be master in his own household and speak according to the language of his people. Okay, so remember, we left with Vashti refusing to appear before her husband, and we saw that the king was angry, furious, in fact, and burning with anger. And now we see that the king is going to make a federal case out of Vashti's refusal. It was customary to consult with experts when it came to dealing with matters of law and justice. The king considers this issue one of law and one of justice. He feels that he's been treated unjustly. So he speaks with his closest wise men, and notice how he frames his question. What must be done to Queen Vashti? She has not obeyed the command of that my eunuchs gave her. So what was her crime? What does she deserve justice for? For disobeying the king's command. Keep that in mind. Look at the response. She has not done wrong against just the king, but against all the peoples of the province. So now wait, how did she do wrong against the whole country? How was her behavior treacherous? How'd they get there? Well, let's see how they got there. They're basically charging Vashti not just with disobeying the command of the king, which was actually a death sentence, but they're charging her with mutiny and insurrection. In reality, what the rulers claimed the real problem was is that Vashti, as the queen, is the model for all the women in the country, and when she refuses to obey the tiniest whim of her husband, she's setting the model that all the women in the country don't have to obey their husbands either. Now, Vashti did disobey Xerxes, Ahasuerus. That's not even something to dispute. The command placed on her by Ahasuerus was an immoral one, but let's be perfectly honest here. These are not God's people that we're looking at here. We are looking at a foreign culture who worshipped foreign gods. We're not looking at God's people. These men that are demanding the wives submit to any request by their husbands, that's not God's people. Don't confuse the two. This isn't a question of, shouldn't she submit to her husband as to the Lord? Neither one of this couple followed God. They are not under his grace, and they don't want to be. Now, don't misunderstand me. God's standard for marriage is right and perfect. God's call on wives to submit to their husbands is one that should be followed. Yes, but before that can be done correctly, wives must submit themselves to God's lordship. Without the Holy Spirit guiding us in submission, ladies, we're just going through the motions, and we're still submitting for our glory, not his. Now, had Vashti been a follower of God, Had she been refusing to come before Ahasuerus because she was honoring God above the king? That's a totally different conversation. But that is not the case here at all. Vashti refused for her own agenda, not for God's. Remember, even Joab could give good advice to David that even pointed out David's sin, all while Joab went about unconcerned about the numerous murders he himself had committed in cold blood. So Vashti may have made the right choice in not coming before the king, but that wasn't because she was righteous. We're going to jump to the New Testament for a minute. In Romans 2, verses 13 through 15, it says, "For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them and at other times even defending them." This passage from Romans shows that there's a common law that we can see was in effect on Vashti's heart as she refused to come to Ahasuerus. The common law was there, but almost as a shadow. That shadow or echo that God has put on all men's hearts. And God still moved on Ahasuerus's heart to spare Vashti's life. In a way, she was protected from making the righteous choice in that instance, as we see when the king spares her. While she is no longer allowed to appear before the king and is no longer allowed the privileges of being queen, her life is spared and she continues to reside in the palace. So we need to remember that distinction. The ones who demanded obedience at all costs to the husbands, regardless of what the request was, and honestly, Ahasuerus knew that the request he was making of Vashti was against the culture, was against the prescribed rules of behavior that were accepted, he most likely would have had her killed for appearing before him if she had obeyed, especially, as we discussed yesterday, if his desire was for her to appear in the buff. There's some important stuff here, too. Royal decrees could not be repealed. Not even the king could change that or remove a royal decree. Notice, too, verse 22, he sends messages to all the provinces that were under Persia's control, each in its own script. Persia, at this point, had conquered many foreign nations and usurped them. Remember, Persia didn't conquer and assimilate other nations and make them all fall in line and be Persians. They conquered them, told them they could go ahead and worship their own gods, but they were now under the control of Persia and had to pay tribute to Persia and honor the king of Persia as their own king. So this message is sent out to all of the territories that have been conquered by the Persians and is made known in all their own languages that this is a law they will be required to follow now too. Now, a few things really stick out to me on this one. First of all, isn't it amazing the lengths that Ahasuerus went to in order to deny responsibility for his own actions? And yet, we do the same thing. It's always someone else's fault when things go badly for us. It is so hard for us to admit the responsibility we have for our actions. When we make a poor choice, or when we sin, and the results aren't what we wanted them to be, we blame anyone and everyone else. Well, I didn't get that job because the bosses have it out for me. Or, I am where I am because of what my ex-spouse did to me. This isn't my fault. Or even, well, I couldn't tell what choice I should make, so I just didn't make a choice, so this isn't my fault. Just a note, choosing not to choose is making a choice. I've even known some people who, when they make a bad decision that ends disastrously, they will somehow claim that it's God's fault that this ended badly and claim that he has some reward for them for enduring this hardship that they're now going through. Let me be clear. We're all being refined by God to draw closer to him. The process of refining is not an easy one. It's painful. And often God will send suffering or trials to refine us and to point us back to where we need to be focused, on him. Here's my however, though, so brace yourself, because this is a painful one. However, when you sin, you have to deal with the consequences of that sin. You make a poor choice, you have to deal with that too. If I, for example, disregard God's directions to avoid gossip and slander, and I engage in gossip and slander, and one day my tongue causes a fracture in a relationship or even something worse as I'm caught in that gossip, that's not the fault of the person who caught me. That isn't the fault of the person I was talking about either. That's the fault of my own sinful tongue, period, and I will have to deal with the consequences. Can I learn from that? Absolutely. Can God use that to train me in righteousness? Yes. But let me be perfectly clear, as I endure the anguish and hurt from that situation, the end result isn't that God wants me to endure so that he can give me wealth as a reward for my suffering. My reward is in heaven, and this life's purpose is for me to learn daily how to glorify God and love him forever, not how to make excuses and justify my sin or insist that God owes me something because I endured the hard consequences of my own sin or foolish choice. None of us is good, ladies, not one. God owes us nothing. When we accept responsibility for our actions, not for other people's actions, that was a favorite prideful sin of mine to take on, and humbly come before God in repentance for our actions, he will help us through the situation. Again, doesn't mean that the consequences will magically disappear. We'll have to deal with them. I guess my question for us all today is this. Where do we feel wronged? What areas or relationships or circumstances do we feel that we deserve something better than what we have? Think about it. Now, think about why those situations feel wrong to you. Do you see any part that you played in that situation? If not, it's time to take a step back and look again. Whenever we feel owed something, we need to reevaluate and ask ourselves why. Did you do something for someone else expecting something in return, and when that didn't happen, you feel owed? Are you going through a rough time that you feel was caused by something external? Do you see where you played a part in that? Or do you only see where others have wronged you? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we are always to blame when hard things happen. However, even if we are only 1% responsible for the situation and the other person or people or whatever are 99% responsible, we still had a part in that and we need to acknowledge it. So take some time today. Where those feelings of resentment are hanging on to you so hard, stop and look at them. See where that is coming from and where you need to go from there. The answers might be closer than you think.
Well, thank you, Beth. And ladies, that lesson that you just heard is available in a 10-minute audio segment on our website today, along with the individual study guide for today. And look for it at naomistable.com under the Bible Study tab. You can use these as a study for yourself or to teach women around your own table. Nancy and I will be back to talk more about today's lesson in just a moment. Mm-hmm.